Hare Krishna. Now at the end of the day, we will go again through the teachings which we have received. In the morning we heard that expertise in chanting means to avoid the aparadhas, that all of the ten aparadhas, inattention, is the cause of all these anattas, these clouds in the hearts. To avoid this, we have heard that we should come in the association of devotees, or to go to a lonely place like an hermit, and just make a firm decision to avoid this inattention by begging for the mercy of the Lord. This begging for the mercy of the Lord will be something on which we will concentrate this evening. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has repeatedly stressed that humility is the only prerequisite, the only qualification to chant the holy name always without interruption. Once, Advaita Acharya came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was immediately after Mahaprabhu had saved the two drunkards, Jagai and Madai. He had invited the two to join his kirtan in the evening in Srivasa Thakur's house. And when the kirtan was going on, something mystical happened. All the sins which these two drunkards and murderers had committed left their bodies like a dark cloud, and they entered into the golden body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had asked Advaita, "Look at me, how do I look to your eyes?" And Advaita had smiled, "You are black, like Syama Sundar Krishna." He didn't say, "You're black from the sins which you have adopted." And then Advaita Acharya had said, "My Lord, I fall at your feet and request you, just like you have given your mercy to these two sinners, give your mercy to all those who take shelter. Give it to the poor, give it to the destitute, give it to the sinners. But my Lord, don't give it to the arrogant, the pride ones, who are falsely inflated with their pride." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard this unusual request, "Give your mercy to the most fallen, as long as they are humble, and keep your mercy away from the pride ones, even though they may be qualified," he agreed, and he said, "Tatastu, may that be so." So the qualification for chanting is humility. If you are a humble soul, you will not have any difficulties to ask for the blessings of the Lord to overcome distractedness. If you think you can do it on your own, if you are prideful, you will think, "I can do it all by myself." Krishna taught humility for the greatest being of the universe, Brahma. When Krishna appeared in Braj, the land of Madhurya, of sweetness, he took on the form of a small cowherd boy who was very, very sweet. And as a cowherd boy, he engaged in very robust, you can say, pastimes with his cowherd boyfriends. They would, for instance, go down to the river Yamuna and take a picnic there. Listen to this picnic. They would take leaves, big leaves from the trees, and put them on stone slabs, and then put their eatables on top of this. And very often they would steal prasadam from their friend's plate, like it is customary amongst friends. Krishna himself sometimes a friend would take a samosa and put a flower inside and give it Krishna to eat, and Krishna would eat it and eat the bitter flower, and he would go and the friends would laugh. Ha ha, go on. So they would have a very nice friendly picnic. Brahma looked upon all this. He's the creator of the universe, but more so from his breathing, the Vedas originate, which tell you what to do and what not to do. And when he saw Krishna eating like an ordinary cowherd boyfriend from the plates of his friends, he thought, this can't be God. He's unclean. He's moochy. He decided in his mind, I will test this boy. If he cannot pass my test, I know he's an ordinary boy. But at that time, Krishna knew that Brahma wanted to test him. By his Lila Shakti, he made an arrangement that the calves would become allured by fresh grasses and would leave the spot where the boys were engaged in picnicking. And when Brahma saw that the calves moved away from this lotus flower-like assembly of the cowherd boys, he got an idea. He stole the calves. The cowherd boys all of a sudden said, hey Gopal, where are the calves? Gopal, Krishna said, I will go and look for them. No, we will go, said the little friends. No, you eat comfortably, said Krishna. And he got up. His hand had still rice and yogurt and fruit. And he very innocently, Natyam, pretending to be bewildered, went after the cows, the calves, and he looked on top of Govardhan Hill. He looked in the caves. Hello, calves, come. And he looked everywhere, pretending that he didn't know that Brahma had stolen them. Brahma thought, ha, my plan works. And he swooped down a second time and stole all the cowherd boys from the spot. When Krishna returned, he didn't see his friends any longer. Now the calves were gone and his friends were gone. And he knew this is the work of Brahma. Brahma is my firstborn son. I have delegated to him the duty to create the universe. If I make him look like a fool before everyone, he will be very embarrassed. I will secretly correct him. And by saying this, Krishna expanded into all the stolen calves. He expanded himself into all the stolen cowherd boys. And you know, he became so similar to them that you couldn't tell the difference. He expanded into their sharps, into their turbans, into their sticks, into their smiles. You know, have you ever tried to smile like someone else? And have you found out that you looked like a total fool? Because you can't do that. Krishna expanded into a smile, and the smile looked exactly like everything else. When Brahma returned, he saw everything was like before. It's a long, 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 long narration which I will tell at the site of Govardhan this year. For 7 days I will talk about this, but here I will make it short. Brahma was bewildered. I thought I just stole everyone. Let me go back where I hid them. And he went by his mystic potencies to Satyaloka and looked in the caves, and there he had arranged some silken beds on which the cowherd boys were peacefully sleeping. Now they are here, but how are they there? He immediately went down again, and yes, they were there. So when Brahma doesn't know, what he will do is he will sit down and meditate, and in his meditation invoke a certain shakti which he has, the shakti of omni-knowledge. What is it? Omniscience, isn't it? What? Please say it in English.
Omniscience.
Not nescience, nescience. That means he knows everything. He can expand his consciousness in every corner of the universe and know everything, even how much money you have on your bank account, if he wants. But that's a small matter for him. I mean, he's not interested, I think, in such things. So but by his power, he couldn't understand what was happening. Then he thought, my God, Krishna, what if I come back now and bring the cowherd boys and calves which I have stolen and say, Krishna, I was a little bit foolish. I'm sorry. And then Krishna says, hey, Brahma, are you intoxicated? Have you drunken something? Look, the cowherd boys and calves are here. Why do you bring in double set, and from where did you get this? Then I even looked more foolish, said Brahma. So he was so bewildered. When Krishna saw that Brahma had become humble and understood that he can't test Krishna, Krishna decided to show Brahma a lesson, and he instantaneously showed himself as the cowherd boys, the calves. In other words, the calves became Vishnu expansions, the cowherd boys became also Vishnu expansions. And Brahma saw, oh, these Vishnus are there. My God, so many Vishnus. Millions of Vishnus. And this was too much for his. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadev Goswami that Brahma felt so humbled that he fell down before Brahma, before Krishna. But when he was lying in the dust, he thought, oh, what a fool I am. Now I'm lying before Krishna. I can't see anything. I want to see his beauty. So he got up again and looked at Krishna's beauty, who was just standing there like a little boy. Brahma saw the beauty of Krishna, who's more beautiful than all the gods of love put together. And he immediately thought, oh, I did such a mistake against this Krishna. And he just fell down again. But when he was down again, he thought, what a fool I am. I should look at this beauty. And he got up again. And Uttaya, 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 Shukadev Goswami says, again and again he rose, and again fell. And then he prayed to Krishna. He prayed. My dear Krishna, because of my elevated position as Brahma, I'm very proud. Therefore, I have been deprived of Krishna Prema, and I could not enjoy your sweet pastimes in Braj. He says very correctly, when there is the mountain of pride between us and God, we cannot feel happy with the Lord. We can't even be happy at a japa retreat because something is in our heart which is not good. Brahma said, if I would take birth as a cowherd boy, I would very easily be able to serve Lord Krishna. But Krishna, I could not develop the proper mood to become your servant. I fear that because I'm so proud, even when you come in your next incarnation as Gauranga, I will not be able to participate in your pastime. Due to my pride, I will maybe attack you or do something foolish. This thought did not leave Brahma. He thought, I'm absolutely hopeless. Have you ever felt hopeless in your spiritual life? No, it seems you have always felt hopeful. That's good. But there is a mood when you feel, I never can make it. How do you feel at that time? Desperate. You feel, there's no chance for me except that I go down and down and down and down. I'm just so bad. So Brahma could not forgive himself. And once he was sitting alone and he thought, I do not see anyone else who can help me except Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord of the Fallen. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will certainly come during the first part of Kali Yuga to bless the fallen people of that age. If I go down now to the place where he will appear, if I go down to Navadvip Dham, then the Lord will definitely fulfill my desires. And then Lord Brahma, he went down. I think he didn't even bring his swan because he felt, I better go humble, you know, I don't go with my Rolls Royce, you know, my swan carrier. I better go down like this. And he sat down, sat in a place in Navadvip, which is, let me look, the island of Antadvip, which was previously known as Atopur. And in that, on that island, he sat, and with tears in his eyes, he chanted one mantra, which is a very good mantra. Please repeat. Gauranga.
Gauranga.
Gauranga. Everybody together. Gauranga. 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 Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Gaurahari. Nitai Gauranga, Gaurahari. Jai Sachinandana, Jaya Sachinandana. Jai Sachinandana, Jaya Sachinandana. Jai Sachinandana, Gaurahari. Jai Sachinandana, Gaurahari. Gaurahari, Jaya Gaurahari. Everything was complete. Lord Gaurachandra appeared before the four-headed Lord Brahma. Would you like to know how he looked like?
Yes.
All 10 directions, that means north, northeast, east, southeast, south and up, and you know, all around the compass, and then up and down, were dazzled by the effulgence of Gauranga's transcendent body. It was said that Lord Chaitanya looked also as beautiful as the God of love, with one difference. When you see the God of love, you become agitated and lust enters your consciousness. But the beauty of Gauranga, when you see it, there's absolutely no chance that lust enters your consciousness. In fact, you become free from all unnecessary disturbances in the mind. He had a broad chest and the long arms were extending all the way down to his thighs. Thighs means just above the knees, you know. On his body there were various ornaments, and his eyes extended up to his ears. Here we can almost see it, but not completely. It's such big eyes, almost it goes to the ears. His glances were very merciful, and his face was more beautiful than millions of moons. When you look at a moon, it cools and pacifies you. So when you looked at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's moon-like face, he's therefore known as Gaurachandra, the Gaura moon. All the tapatrayas, the three miseries of your body, your mind, and the miseries which come from other living entities, just were cooled away. He was, in other words, like Vedram would say, super cool. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked mercifully at Lord Brahma, who couldn't control himself any longer. Can you imagine if Krishna looks into your eyes? He started to tremble. He tried to be on his feet, but the mercy was just so strong that he finally fell to the ground and overflooded the ground with all his eight eyes. You know, he has four faces, so eight eyes. He overflooded the ground with just salty water. So Lord Chaitanya saw that Brahma was beyond himself with emotion, and he quickly stepped forward and embraced him and put him up again and said, "Brahma, I know your desire. I know you have an extraordinary wish, and I will fulfill it." Brahma couldn't believe his ears, but he knew the Lord knows everything, but still he wanted to say what was in his heart. "Listen to this most amazing desire, which I think we can only understand if our hearts are open to the mysteries of love." He said, "I'm very wretched. Due to my proud nature, I have forgotten your lotus feet. I became engrossed in material life. The scriptures say I am actually your servant, but I behaved contrary to this. I'm not so fortunate to be your pure devotee. I have been overwhelmed by your maya. Now the first half of my life has already passed. I'm concerned, how will I spend the second half of my life? It is well possible that again I become bhayamukha. Bhayamukha means I turn my face away from you and look towards the outer world for enjoyment. I pray at your lotus feet, be kind, accept me when you come here to Navadvip as your associate, but to protect me, kindly give me birth in a low class family. I'm so proud. Remove this terrible pride and allow me to develop attachment to your holy name. Make it that all people will hate me. Oh my God. Could you imagine to pray to the Lord, make that everyone hates me? I think we are slightly shocked, my God. We work so hard that everyone loves us. No? We are constantly trying to make a good face. We are constantly, you know, it's, we are like shop owners who always put the good things in the shop window, you know. Our shop window is our smile, you know. It's always very good articles, very proud, very, I'm very tolerant, I'm very advanced, and so on. And the bad things about us, we try to put in the cellar. They don't sell so good, you know. One of my friends said, and especially in a spiritual movement, it can happen that we develop the culture of concealment. Do you know what concealment means? We hide things away. So that everyone loves us. But Brahma said, when everyone loves me, I might think everything is all right and I become again proud. Therefore, my Lord, make it that everyone just despises me, means hates me. That when they see me, they will go another direction. Oh, no, 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 no. We don't want that even our shadow is touched by the feet of this person. Let me take birth in a family of meat eaters. Let me take birth in the family of those who invade India and spread terror through their government. I want to become one of those.
Hare Krishna.
One more thing. In this pastime, when you come, please do not again cover me with your illusory energy. Please don't do this again and fulfill a desire of mine. Let the materialists hate me, but give me the association of your devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must have been touched when he heard the sincere prayer of Brahma. And he said, let it be so, Brahma. Let your desire be fulfilled. When I next manifest my pastime on earth, you will take birth in the house of Yavanas. At that time, you will be completely free from any pride. You will be a great devotee and known as
Haridas.
Know by the power of the sadhana which you have done, you will enter my eternal abode, Navadvip, at the end of this life. Sometimes, when Lord Chaitanya was offering blessings to all the devotees, he called forth Haridas. And he showed him how he is Krishna in Vrindavan. Haridas saw Krishna like he had seen him in his previous existence as Brahma. And Haridas started to cry, oh no! Remembering what he did as Brahma. testing and challenging the Lord. He fell down in a swoon. When he was awakened, Mahaprabhu said, Haridas, you are one of my dearest devotees. Tell me, what do you want from me? Haridas said, My Lord, I have two desires. I want to always be in the association of your devotees. I wish to be their servant. And my food should be the remnants from their plates. You know, if Haridas would be here, and you have finished your prasadam during noontime, he would come out from behind a bush. He would be trembling with humility. These are the Balkan devotees. They are worshipable by me, because although they have taken birth in families outside of the Vedic jurisdiction, they are chanting my names. And he would take as his food the remnants from your food plate. Maybe the mango seed, where there would be still a little mango on it. Or in the banana, he would find a little remnant of the banana which you have forgotten. Or half a potato or something. That would be, he would be so humble. Imagine. And it is because of this great quality that he became the pillar of Mahaprabhu's desire. He would not even dare to enter the association of devotees. He would always pay his obeisances from a long distance. He felt himself too foreign to come close to devotees. Yet he was the greatest devotee, because he had no attachment to the false identity, which is only a manifestation of the false ego. When Gauranga Mahaprabhu was ready to go to his eternal kingdom, Haridas said, Brahma said, one last request I have. I wish to hear why exactly you manifest your pastimes in Navadvip. What is your purpose there? When the Lord heard this question, why are you coming to Navadvip in Kali Yuga? You know, this is around 525 years ago. He was smiling and he put his hand on his heart and he said, I will tell you something, but don't write a book about it. Or you are the origin of the Vedic scriptures. Don't put it in a scripture. I will tell you something from the inner core of my heart. I will come and I will accept the mood of my devotee. I will relish the mellows of devotion. I will manifest the most secret sankirtan. And I will give braja prem to all the devotees. Everyone who meets me or has contact with me will become a follower of Braj Bhav in the mood of Madhurya Rasa. My heart is bound by the love of Sri Radhika, and I will descend accepting the mood and bodily color of Srimati Radha Rani. I will relish the same pleasure which is relished by my Sri Radhika in serving me. After revealing his heart means Antar, Gauranga Mahaprabhu disappeared, moved so much in his heart. Therefore, the place where this pastime happened is called Antardvip, the heart island, the island where Lord Chaitanya revealed his innermost heart. Brahma, when he saw Gauranga is no longer there, immediately fainted due to separation and cried out, your chance, Ha Gauranga!
Ha Gauranga!
Ha Dina Bandhu!
Ha Dina Bandhu!
Ha Bhakta Vatsala!
Ha,
when will I attain your lotus feet?
When will I attain your lotus feet?
After Brahma cried like this for a few days, Ha Gauranga, Ha Dinabandhu, friend of the fallen, Bhakta Vatsala, friend of your devotees, he composed himself somewhat and got back to his planet Satyaloka, where he performed his duty. His duties, which appeared so dry for him as Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe. The great devotees in Navadvip, who in the mood of Lord Brahma would call out, Ha Bhakata Vatsala, Ha Pranabalaba, Ha Govardhana Hari Hari, the whole day they would not chant Hare Krishna, but just these three names addressing Krishna as the Lord of the life, the lifter of the Govardhan hill, and also as the friend of his devotees. One of these great devotees was Vamsi Das Babaji. When he was asked how to best please Krishna, he gave a mysterious answer. He said, on the bank of the ocean stands a tree who thinks he can build a dam to control the waters of the ocean. Cry! That was his answer to the question, how can you best please Krishna? Would you like to know what this means, this answer?
Yes.
There is the inner energy of the Lord, the Antaranga Shakti, and the Bahiranga Shakti, the external energy. So we, the Jiva, are standing on the Tatastha line, that is the borderline between the two energies. And sometimes we are controlled by Maya, sometimes by the internal energy. So much the same way, we are like a tree which grows, cannot run away, at the bank of an ocean. Sometimes when the ocean comes, he's controlled by the water, he's over flooded by the water. And sometimes when the water goes back, he's in the air. But if the jiva, who's controlled by the energies of the Lord, thinks he can control his spiritual life, it is as foolish as if a tree thinks he can build a dam in the ocean and control the water. Therefore, you must cry for the mercy. That was the Vamsi Das Babaji's answer to the question how to best attain Krishna. Not by control, but by begging for the mercy. So this Brahma is the Brahma Haridas, was a very, very, is a very dear devotee of Lord Krishna. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya fulfilled his dearest desire at the end of Haridasa's life. And we will hear about this in just a second, but we will just sing a little bit more. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Oh,
the evening of his life. Brahmahari Das felt he wanted to leave the world. Great yogis and great personalities can determine the time when they give up this body. And Haridas felt in his heart, soon my Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will end his manifest pastimes on this planet. I don't wish to stay in the absence of my Lord even for 1 second longer in this world. So when he decided like this, he laid down on his back. When the servant of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Govinda, came one day, he wanted to bring him prasadam to eat. But Haridas said, I can't eat now. I have not yet finished my prescribed quota of rounds. But what to do? The prasadam has come from the Lord. I must respect it. So he paid his obeisances to the Mahaprasad without eating even a morsel. Govinda Das informed Gauranga Mahaprabhu, your Haridas seems to be very ill. He also fasts and doesn't take anything more. He's so old. Maybe he's planning to leave before you. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu came and he said, Haridas, I have heard you have not eaten today. Yes, said Haridas, I have a severe disease. Gauranga said, can you tell me what this disease is? Haridas said, yes, I cannot finish my rounds. That's my disease. Oh, said Gauranga Mahaprabhu, your role in this incarnation of mine is to deliver the people in general by chanting so much. But you have sufficiently preached the glories of chanting the holy names. Please reduce your rounds. You chant 192 rounds each day and then do kirtan and so on. No need, you have done enough. Harita said, please don't bewilder me. Please don't put your maya over me. He may have remembered that as Brahma he requested, don't put me in maya again. I am not a first-class devotee. I am not a devotee who can be slack with his discipline. I was born in an inferior family. My body is most abominable. I always engage in low work. I'm unseeable, untouchable. But you have accepted me as your servant. That means you have delivered me from a hellish condition and raised me to Vaikuntha. You are actually fully independent. You caused the whole world to dance according to your free will. You have also made me dance. And then he remembered his life. When they were beating me, trying to kill me, you made me dance and not feel any pain. Once you made a joke with me. There was an open assembly, and Advaita Acharya had performed the last rites for his deceased ancestors. And to honor me, he gave me the delicacies of the Shraddha ceremony before all the learned Brahmanas of Shantipur. And the Brahmanas protested it. They said, "We are more elevated than this Muslim guy. Give us the first plates. Honor us." I mean, you're from Croatia, you do not know the ways in India. If there's a Brahmana, he needs to be fed on a higher place than ordinary people. You know, just give him a raised platform and then give him first. Otherwise, the etiquette is not followed and he will be upset. So you gave me the first plate before all the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas protested. And then Advaita Acharya said, "Well, if you are so high, then use your mantras to ignite wood." They all tried to speak the mantras. To ignite wood, but the wood would not get ablaze with fire. Then you said to me, then Advaita Acharya said to me, "Haridas, you make the wood burn with your mantra." I said, "Advaita, I don't know any mantra to make fire." Advaita said, "You say your mantra. What could I do? I chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And all of a sudden, you, my Lord, put fire into my words and the wood became ablaze with flames. You made a joke out of me." "But now, my Lord, I have a final request. I feel that very soon you will close your pastimes in the material world. I would not be able to tolerate your absence for even half a moment. Before that moment comes where you leave, let my body fall down in your presence. I wish to catch your lotus feet on my chest and this way leave my body." Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "This is too much," and he left. The next morning he came and said, "Haridas, how are you?" Haridas said, "My Lord, whatever mercy you show upon me, that's how I am." "Ah," said Gauranga Mahaprabhu, "these devotees of mine." He sat down. He ordered Brakeshwara Pandit to start a kirtan, one of those mega kirtans. Then Haridas took the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his chest. And while the kirtan was roaring, big time kirtan, he again got up and he paid his obeisances to each single devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He must have crawled on his floor to account to the devotees, paid his obeisances to each one. Then he got back, placed again the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, and while the kirtan was going on, he chanted very loudly, "Gauranga!
Gauranga!
Gauranga!
Sri Krishna Chaitanya!
Sri Krishna Chaitanya!
Sri Krishna Chaitanya!"
And while looking intently at the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left his body and return to the spiritual world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so moved, he took the body of his dear devotee. He led a procession with Kirtan down to the ocean. He washed the body of Haridas and gave him a burial. The next day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went personally to all the shop owners who had shops before the temple of Lord Jagannath. And with his own hands, he begged foodstuffs for the last feast of Haridas Thakur. And he distributed this prasadam to everyone. That's a very nice shloka and a nice verse which I would like you to chant with me. The verse says, all glories to Haridas Thakur, who revealed the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Jaya, 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 Haridas. Jaya, 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 Haridas. Name Ram Mahima.
Name Ram Mahima.
Yenha Karila.
Yenha Karila.
Karila Prakasha. Jaya 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 Haridasa.
Jaya 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 Haridasa.
Jaya Jaya Haridasa.
Jaya Jaya
Jaya Haridasa. Jaya 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 Haridasa.
Jaya Jaya Haridasa.
On the Samadhi of Haridas, the Samadhi Mandir, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in English a dedication to Haridas Thakur. It's a poem. Let me try to read to you. He reasons ill who says the Vaishnavas die. When you Vaishnavas are living still and sound, for Vaishnavas die to live and living try to spread the holy name around. I very strongly feel that this beautiful poem is becoming true on this retreat, where we hear Haridas's wonderful instructions on the chanting of the holy name. I think for today, before we go to rest, I want to repeat his instructions to on overcoming distractedness or inattentiveness, which is the worst problem which we all know. Haridas said, simply by one's own efforts, no one in this material world can overcome distractedness. Such a victory can only come by your merciful blessings. I take great care to beg for your mercy. My heart overcome with emotion, knowing that you are all merciful and will always be generous with your blessings. If I make no effort to attain your mercy, then I will remain forever unfortunate. Hare Krishna.
soul, we have come almost to the end. We'll just chant two more minutes, and then please stay. There will be important announcements which will help you to do your next day.
Oh. Successfully ended or concluded your first day at this Chapter Kirtan retreat, and Maharaj was sharing how happy he is and how satisfied, because he saw really that you're giving your best. Many of you have really taken it seriously to